Hey everyone, Trace here for DNews, looking into the science of forgiveness. Humans are a complex mix of emotional states which all evolved to serve a purpose. For a long time, forgiveness was thought to be in the realm of religion and philosophy. But science has begun to study the idea of forgiveness and the psychological and health impacts of letting go of internalized conflict. During apartheid, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for nearly 3 decades. When he was finally freed in 1990, he refused to hold on to anger or resentment toward his oppressors, saying, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." One could say that Nelson Mandela is self-actualized, which is described in psychology theories as what a man can be, he must be. One of the keys of this is to forgive. Mandela was a preacher of love and forgiveness. Writer William Hazlitt believes without someone to fight, without someone contrary, humans wouldn't survive. We need a villain to have a hero. Even in the Roddenberryan utopia of Star Trek, humans still have contrary feelings. But though it's difficult, why is forgiving important? Scientifically speaking, the study of forgiveness is relatively new, and so far science has shown forgiveness has a genetic component but can also be taught and passed through social interaction. When people were asked by researchers to think about a time they suffered a wrong, their heart rate, muscle tension, and blood pressure all increased. They reported feeling less in control of themselves and were under significant stress. A study funded by the John Templeton Foundation found that when people were able to forgive, they had lower resting blood pressures and they could more easily cope with chronic pain, while patients holding on to anger and resentment experienced aggravated pain. Another study in Michigan found those who refused to forgive had higher levels of cortisol, a major stress hormone produced by the adrenal gland and a natural steroid, while the Mayo Clinic says those who practice this shift in thinking have lower incidences of depression, better functioning immune systems, and nervous systems. They also had lower rates of heart disease. Ultimately, outside of direct biological benefits, social science done by Stanford University indicates forgiveness can help interpersonal relationships flourish. Taken together, forgiveness lets the body physically relax and mentally heal, which I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty great. No wonder Mr. Mandela lived for so long and accomplished so much. His body was content, relaxed, and stress-free.
Does that not sound like the healthier way to live? So I figured I would let someone smarter than me explain all the science behind it. But bottom line is, when you learn how to forgive, you physically, mentally, and emotionally do better. So how many think that may be a good subject for us to broach today and see what God has to say about it? First thing I want to say is, hey, welcome to Navigation Church. Good to see you. Are you, and I need to know this. Are you ready for today?
Yeah.
Let's give that another one. Are you ready for today? There it is. Doesn't it feel good to almost release that? Hey, if you're watching us online, we so appreciate you tuning in. This morning, we're going to continue our conversation, Relationship 101. If you're ever in the St. Louis area, you have to stop by the greatest church in the St. Louis Metro East area, known as Navigation Church. So go ahead and stop by. Thank you, thank you. That's called a cheap pop, but we love doing it around here. Okay, here's the deal. If you're watching us and you're not from the St. Louis area, roughly lately, when it comes to the temperature in this place, our thermostat has been set somewhere right below the temperature of hell, in my opinion. It's been hot, it's been humid, it's been nasty. And so I don't know about you, I'm a sweater. Is anyone else a sweater? Like, I walk out to get the mail and somehow it looks like I came back like I ran a 5K. And so I'm also cheap. So I'm a sweater and I'm cheap. And here's what I mean by cheap. When I first moved into my house, they put sod in the front yard. So I knew I couldn't have a big, heavy mower on it, so I used a push mower. And the back was a dust bowl. So I'm like, that can go for a year and I won't have to touch it. Weeks later, grass showed up. When I didn't want it, it showed up. So then I went and priced mowers. And as I started pricing mowers, I realized I'm pushing this thing because I have a push mower already. So I push mow my yard, and it roughly takes about 40 minutes. But when I'm done, I am saturated. You would think I just got out of a swimming pool, soaking head to toe, nasty wet. It's getting too descriptive. My eyes are burning because salt's going in it. Everything I can take. Okay, you got it. So on one of these days, I'm finishing up mowing. All the weeding is done. The last thing I have to do is go get my blower. I have an electric blower. Why? It's cheaper. I think we've covered this already. So I go to get my electric mower. I grab the extension cord, and I found out that I had a short in my extension cord. It shocked me so bad, it tripped the GFI. I appreciate you guys saying all. My wife laughed, and she was like, "You have those documents signed, don't you?" So, literally, shocked me so bad a trip to GFI. And by the way, I'm still using this because I'm too cheap to go buy a new one. Today I'm planning on taping this. So that is a true story. So I grabbed this, shocked me. I don't cuss, but if I would have, today would have been a good day to use one of those good ones, right? Like it was a big shock. So I ended up replugging in the blower, tripping the GFI, still got my job done. But while I'm standing there thinking to myself, don't touch that spot again, I realize this: power not placed properly produces pain. And so here's why this has to do with forgiveness. Because when you have unforgiveness towards someone, they have your power. Why do I mean that? Because you think of them and you get emotionally charged and it hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't hurt where they're plugged in at. How is it when they're not anywhere around and you retouch the circumstance that should be, you should be having life for yourself, but somehow when you touch that again, you all of a sudden start spiraling down in depression and despair, and you start replaying this and you find yourself fighting with them and you're supposed to be enjoying time with your family, but guess what? Your power, it's been diverted somewhere else. So today, I want to talk about the power of forgiveness, because the power of forgiveness is power for you, not them. I want to talk about you forgiving today, because you forgiving someone else brings control back to you. The moment you think about someone and your life begins emotionally, mentally, spiritually to shift, that means someone else has control over you. You need to have control over you. So today, when I talk about forgiveness, I want to talk to you about the strength to forgive somebody. Because most of the times when we think about forgiving someone, we think of ourselves as weak. We will give in, and I'm going to forgive you for doing what you did for me. Here's what I want to tell you today. In order for you to have the true power that you need to have in your life, I'm going to tell you this. I need you to find the strength to forgive somebody else. So if I said to you today, is there someone in your life you need to forgive? How many? I mean, if you want to show your hands, you can, but I'll tell you now, it's most of us. Okay. So here's a couple things that forgiveness, I'm going to do a true or false thing. You don't have to say it out loud. Kind of keep a mental tally in your head on your fingers. We're going to go through five statements. And my question for you is this statement true or is this statement false? Okay. Statement number one, a person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for forgiveness. So we're doing it out loud again. Okay. No, let's do this. Okay, so true or false, person should not be forgiven until he or she. So a lot of you kind of said false on that. So here's the next one for you. Forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and pain caused. Okay, not as many of you are as dedicated on that one. So it's minimizing. Okay, we'll come back to it. So forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting the relationship. Okay, I heard a couple truths. I like that. This is fun. This is so, like, I love having division in the church. It's great. Okay, so true or false? You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. Okay, one true that was dedicated. I love it. So, okay, final one. When you forgive, it removes the consequences of their actions. True or false? Okay, so biblically speaking, every one of these statements are false. Okay, so let's kind of process back through. A person should be forgiven until she or he asks for forgiveness. So a way to say it is, you are able to forgive someone conditionally. Like if they come and say, yeah, I wronged you, now it's easy for me to forgive you. But the reality is, what if they never come to you, or what if they never actually say, yes, I did it? So here's a question for you. You're driving down the road, someone cuts you off, you're now mad at them, you never meet this person again, you're allowed to have unforgiveness towards them forever? They didn't even know they did it, right? You're not going to meet them again. So it cannot be conditional. Conditional forgiveness, all of us have to admit this. We hate conditional forgiveness. You know when someone comes to you and goes, hey, I forgive you as long as you don't do it again. Oh, okay. So if I mess up, if I have an accident, if I on purpose or not on purpose do something to you, we're back here again. True forgiveness is unconditional forgiveness. So the next one, forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. So let me word this a different way and see if you say it's true or false. True forgiveness is minimizing the pain you got that was inflicted to yourself by lying to yourself. Here's the thing, if it happened to you, it happened to you. If it caused you pain, it caused you pain. But the problem is, if you stay in that pain, that place of pain, and you stay where your emotions are continually exposed, it will continually hurt you. So forgiveness covers up that place, even though it truly caused pain. You can't lie to yourself about the pain. Actually, I would say this. If you would believe that this type of forgiveness is true, you have what would be considered a split personality disorder. If you can be so wounded, but so separated from yourself that you're a whole different person, I'm not saying this is a joke. We need to talk. You need to go find help. You should not be able to separate yourself from your pain like that. So the next one, forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting the relationship. I would say false. Here's the best example. Ready for this? You spent the night at my house. I woke up the next morning. You robbed me blind. I might forgive you, but we're not having a sleepover next week. Like, we're going to change this. So if you're in a marriage relationship, which, by the way, next week, we're going to be talking about relationships, but the main theme that I'm going to use is marriage. So I invite you to come back for that. But if you're in a marriage relationship and somewhere in that marriage, trust was broken along the line, here's the way I like to say it. The bridge of trust is now a toll bridge. It costs to go back and forth. But you want that relationship to come together. But until the tolls are taken down, it's still a toll bridge. Why? Because we want to reunite, but there's a price to be paid in order to reunite. So you don't just bring someone back up to the relationship. And guess what? There's some relationships you probably don't need to be involved in. But it doesn't mean you don't forgive them. Okay, you haven't really... Thanks for that. Amen. Appreciate that. You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. Impossible. You know, one thing I hear people say all the time, God has forgotten all my sins. No, not really. Actually, you don't really want to serve a God who forgets things. Like, what if he forgets to keep the earth spinning? It's a bad day for all of us, right? What if he forgets? You get to heaven, you're like, yes, I made it. I didn't cuss right before the car accident. Like, this is a good day. And he comes, oh, man, you look familiar, but who are you? Like, we don't really serve a God who forgets. Here's what we do. We serve a God who separates it from us, as far as east is from the west. So we can remember what occurred, but we can remove the emotions from it. We remember the long-lasting pain that we experienced in that moment. But it doesn't remember for me not to... I'm not going to grab that spot again. I could. Okay, I will. I'm very short-term memory. But, okay, when you forgive it, it removes all the consequences of their sin, of their action. No. Best example for this. You kill someone that I love, I'm going to forgive you, but you are still going to go through the court system for an outside entity to judge what your actions are going to cost you. But it doesn't mean, so if it's Mandela coming out of prison, he was wrongfully put in there. Guess what? He forgave that in order for him not to continue to be locked up that. Because if he didn't, it's almost like purifying yourself. If you don't actually purify yourself of those emotions, purify yourself of these thoughts, he will never forget that he was in prison. But it doesn't mean that he has to mentally stay locked there. And do you know that the Bible, that God actually cares that you get mentally, emotionally, spiritually free in your life? Actually, so Jesus right now, by the way, in the book of Matthew is where we've kind of been parking for this relationship. He does all these different examples in Matthew 5, 6, 7, 8. And one of them, he actually says this. He wants you to be happy. It's called the Beatitudes. How many have ever heard that before? Here's your attitude to be happy. So in one of them, he actually says this. In order for you to be happy, for this to be your attitude, he goes, blessed are the pure in heart. There's a great promise attached to it. For you're going to see God. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Pure in heart here, the word pure is where we would get like our word catheter in order to like purge or cleanse or to clean out the dirty stuff inside. But how do I want to say this? Okay, here it is. Ready? Here's the best way to explain. In the natural, when you eat food or drink water, sometimes later you go to the bathroom. Like, does anybody not know that? Because if so, once again, we need to meet. You need to see a counselor. But, like, okay, so naturally speaking, there's times in our life that we eat stuff and our body takes what it needs, goes into our cells, energizes us, gives us the power that we need. And then after our body processes that food and water, all this stuff that either A, is bad for us or is not needed for us, our body naturally has a way to discard it so that we don't get blockage. The same way needs to happen for your spiritual and emotional life. There's things and places in your life where you're going to hit something, and upon hitting something, your body, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, needs to figure out a way of how do you flush it out, because if you don't flush it out, guess what? You will get clogged up, and Jesus even tells us he's sending stuff your way he wants you to eat. Wait, what? He did it in a prayer that he taught us in the same set of chapters. He says, anytime you pray to God, say this, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Why did we say the heaven part? Because I have a father who lives on the other side of town. I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to my Father who art in heaven. Holy is your name, or hallowed be your name, which basically is a time of worship. So next spring, we're going to have a 40-day campaign all about prayer, and I promise you, we will be getting into this prayer a lot. But holy is your name. God, we worship, we praise you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. Here on this earth, not some time to come, not a future heaven, not when I die, but God, could everything that's who you are come to who I am now here on earth. And Lord, in order to do that, give me my daily bread. Sounds like it's time for me to eat something. But it's not just natural bread, it's spiritual bread. And by the way, God, after I eat this, can you teach me how to forgive my trespassers? For they have trespassed against me, and how you forgive me of my trespass. So here's right. So in life, you're going to sit down at your table. You're going to sit down, and you're going to wake up with your bowl of love that your spouse gave you. Oh, man, that's good eating. They roll over with their morning breath, give you a smooch, and you're like, thank you, Banaka. Like, do they make Banaka anymore? Does anybody know this? I think it's all Altoids now, right? So Altoid, chew that up, then come back. So you gave me love, and I appreciate it. Oh, man, that daily bread of love tasted good. Then you drove, and you listened to a podcast that you enjoy, and they nourished your spiritual soul. And, oh, man, that daily bread of the Bible and the Word and worship, it was so good to eat. And then you get to your workplace environment, and that guy next to your cubicle starts running his mouth and starts lying about you. Oh, I thank you so much for my daily bread of lying. Because guess what? It's happening to you. You can't just reject it. It's going in you. And then someone deceived you. Someone, they told you they'd pay the contract. You went ahead and got the process started. Next thing you know, there was no money there. They end up bankrupting themselves, and you're stuck. So you're deceived, and you're hurt, and you're wounded. You have one of two options. Walk away from your life altogether, or eat the daily bread that God gave you. And in everything that happens in your life, every food that you eat, every interaction that you have has something good for you. It has something good for your soul. It has something good for your emotions. It has something good for you mentally. But there are parts of it that you need to learn. Well, how do I say it? If your natural body eats food and you end up having urine and other things, your spiritual man needs to learn how to pee and poop. I don't know how to say it. There's a chance your emotional man, if they don't figure out how to discard the bad interactions of life, you will end up getting constipated. You'll end up having backed up bowels. And I promise you this, you will start losing power in your life. If everything that comes into you, you hold on to. If you found out that someone hadn't naturally gone to the bathroom for 7 days, wouldn't you go see a doctor? But then we go through life and people are just, no pun intended, dumping on us nonstop. And people are interacting with us and they're rubbing us and they're hurting us and they're wounding us. And nowhere along the line we learn how to flush our soul. It doesn't say blessed are the almost pure in heart. No, we got to figure out how to put a catheter into our life in order to continually flush out the bad toxins of that things that are interacting in the world around us. If not, you will walk around with spiritual indigestion. You will walk around with emotionally blocked bowels, and then you can't figure out why you and your spouse have no love interaction. That's because you're so emotionally bound up inside, you stopped talking a long time ago, and the power that should be flowing through you, every time you touch each other, there's an explosion. Why? Because there's something inside of you haven't learned how to flush. So in our lives, and again, I'm not trying to be crude. I promise you, not trying to be crude. But naturally speaking, God's given us a way to release those toxins that shouldn't be inside of us so emotionally and spiritually, how do you release those things? Because guess what? Every interaction should feed you. There can always be something positive in a situation that happens to you, a life. So you go in and your boss is barking. Guess what? I can learn how to be patient. But when he's barking at me, calling me this, that, and the other thing, guess what? I don't have to actually take those words onto who I am. I can discard them. I can flush them. I can purify who I am. So it says, blessed are the pure in heart. And actually, I got news for you. If you're taking notes, and you may need to tweet this, put this on your Facebook page. I guarantee you have a negative human interaction soon. I'm out. Bam. I guarantee. And actually, not only that, Jesus promises you this. In Luke chapter 17, he says this. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. And then it doesn't say, but here's how you avoid it. Come on, God. The problem is God gave the person next to you the same free will he gave you. Life would be perfect if I had free will and you didn't. King David would just start barking orders. I don't know why I'm a bad English-sounding person. Okay, there it is. So things that cause people to stumble. So here's the thing. We have to realize there's going to be times in our life that we're absolutely going to find things that cause us to stumble. But the thing is, you need to grow up in your ability to overcome. I love the example. I heard T.D. Jakes say this. He said, we want to live a master's degree life, but we can't overcome first grade obstacles. We want to live like we're the doctors, these theologians, these entrepreneurs. But the problem is, every time something little comes that a first grader can get over, we can't. And you know what starts happening? Again, not trying to be crude, but our bowels start backing up. The emotional things that we should be fleshing starts backing up. And so he goes on to say this. And by the way, if this is you, this is going to be really rough to hear. But woe to anyone through who they come from. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So if you're the type of person that you always find yourself in relational conflict, Jesus has something to say to you right now. Woe to you. Here's another way to say it. Stop doing it. But you don't know who I am. I'm always so forward with my opinion. I just blurt out there what it is I'm thinking. Grow up. Put a filter on your mouth. If you are always having to go back to say you're sorry, the Bible actually says it's better to get a big stone, put it around your neck, and yell Geronimo off a bridge into water by yourself. Jesus said it, not me. So it's time in some places that if you are the constant instigator, I just want to let you know that Jesus is preaching against you right now. But he wants the best for you, I promise. If you're sitting here and going like, see, I told you, all Christians are judgmental. No, we're just really honest sometimes. So verse 3, so watch yourself if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them, even if they sin against you 7 times a day. So if you continue to have regurgitation, if you continue to have indigestion coming back your way, it says, 7 times a day they come back to you, repent, you must forgive them. And so you could say, well, I'm only supposed to forgive them if they repent. No, this is just one snapshot. So here's what I want to say to you. If you constantly are dealing with the same situation over and over, God is telling you, you need to figure out a way consistently to flush yourself of those toxicities that are going to try to get inside of you. And you do it over, and you do it over, and you do it over, which tells me this, forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. You know what? You know what's the difference between adults and kids? And by the way, I'm going to go back to my pee-pee and poo-poo stuff right now. So again, not trying to be crude or offend you, but the difference between an adult and a child. An adult gets done eating, gets up in the morning and goes, I need to use the restroom. It's a decision. I go to use the restroom. My boys, I have 3 boys and a baby girl. They're out back playing soccer. And out of nowhere, a boy comes darting into the house yelling this, I got to poop. Because they emotionally have come to the point where there is no other option than take care of this thing, right? If you can't forgive someone, it's that your emotions are higher than your decision-making ability. It doesn't mean that emotions aren't real. It doesn't mean they're not present. It doesn't mean they're not something you need to take care of. But I will tell you this, in order to truly forgive, you have to make the mental decision, if they come back to me 7 times just today, I'm going to choose to flush myself from the toxicity of who they are. And if you don't, they have your power. They take your decision to make a choice away from you. I choose not to emotionally, mentally, spiritually go in a downward spiral because of an action that you took against me. You know what I do? I forgive, I tape it up, and I move on. So is this great? It's just, we have to choose to this. And then, I love this. This is the most confusing thing you'll ever see. Ready for this? Verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Faith? What does faith have to do anything with forgiveness? Right? Because we just said it's a choice. It's a decision you have to make. But they said, hey, we want to be able to do this thing, but we can't do this thing until you increase our faith. So somehow your faith in God is dependent upon your ability to forgive someone else. Don't worry, I'll explain it. You're all sitting there going, I hope he explains it. I had to look it up myself. Don't worry. He replied this, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and say, be removed. Oh, it's a mulberry tree. Hang on a second. Isn't there another time where he speaks to a mountain, tells him, pick an example, Jesus. This is getting to, like, really, like, you don't remember what you preached last week. It's now a tree. It used to be a mountain, but it's supposed to be a tree now because there's a difference between a tree and a mountain. Duh. So here it is. A mountain has no roots, trees do. And has anyone ever heard this phrase? Bitterness has the roots of unforgiveness. So in your life, if you have unforgiveness in your life, if you don't deal with it, it ends up turning to bitterness, and you don't end up dealing with the root system, guess what? The tree's going to grow back into place. And if you don't have the faith to remove it all, here's what you're saying. The pain that occurred to me, the victimization that I underwent, the wound that was placed on me, I have more faith that my life should be dictated by that than my faith that God can heal me from it. So why do I need to increase my faith? Because right now I'm living with the belief system that when Dad left me, I'm no good. When Mom walked out, if Mom can't love me, who can? That when that babysitter abused me, I'm only an object that someone can sexually abuse. And all of a sudden, your mind starts going back to these places that are rooted in wrong belief systems. And guess what? I have more faith believe that I'm useless than I am a son of God. I have more faith believe that I'm a below instead of on top, that I'm beneath instead of above, that I'm the tail instead of that. I have all these belief systems. And here's what God's saying. When you have unforgiveness to those places in your life that root you in a belief system that is illogical and wrong against who God is, here's what he's saying. If you have just enough faith to believe this, he can pluck up every aspect out of it and discard it all into the sea. So why do we want the faith for forgiveness, so that all of us can be free? Can we say this? And all those roots flushed out, all those belief systems, all those limbs, all those branches to be purged from who we are. And so how do we do this? I know, I love it. I love when pastors preach this message. It sounds fantastic. And okay, go live it. And you're like, I wouldn't live it if you would have told me how to live it. So this is where I'm just going to give you a couple practical things. And I would say this, there's some of you here that are going to hear this and you know that you need to do it and you hope mentally you walk it out. But I'm going to tell you, I think you should practically walk this out. So the scripture that we talked about last week that was going to be keep showing its ugly head here is this, Matthew 5, 43. I'm just going to do 43 and 44. It said, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he said this, you heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So this is a long-standing belief system that that the Jewish people have been hearing. He said this, but I tell you this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So how is it that you figure out a way to purge your spiritual and emotional life, you flush the toilet on those things that have been backing you up, causing you the indigestion. And I would say this, the first one is, you need to make the decision. You've always heard it said, well, I'm telling you something different today. So you need to make a decision that you're gonna forgive. And so far, you've been unsuccessful to do it. So how do you do this? Ask God for help. I know that sounds so simplistic, but just to be able to say to God, God, I really need to make this change and I'm miserable in the life that I am, But I believe Pastor just told me this past week, you want me to have my power and to be in control of where things are going. And any place that are out of place that is shocking me, that you want to bring healing to that place. God, I promise that is a promise that God has for you. So step number one, ask for help. Ask God to help you. Then step number two, it says to love your enemies. So how do you love someone who's your current enemy? First of all, I'm going to ask you to do this. Take a piece of paper, and you need to use paper, not a computer, because step three is you throw it away. So unless you have an old computer, you know, so a Commodore 3000 or whatever. So here's what you do. You write a name down. You write multiple names down. You do whatever you need to. You write it down, and then here's what you do. Here is how they hurt me. And here's the emotions that I felt. And when I look back on it, here's the shame that overtakes me. And here's why I can't move into my future, because their words echo from the past. And you write it all down on a piece of paper. And if it's one piece of paper, if it's five pieces of paper, it's 20, you write it all down. And then you do one of a couple things. If you're by yourself and you feel the freedom, then you just say, God, I release them from it. And you just tear it up. You just tear it up. Maybe your friends around you have known that you are so toxic and constipated because every time you talk about this, it comes up and it comes up. You know, throw a party. Have your friends come over. Walk outside, make a little bonfire and go, guys, do you remember how I always talked about Joe? Do you remember the pain that he always caused me? Everything is written on this one thing, and I need you as my community. I need you as those who love me the most. I need you to know this. I'm done. And you throw it in a fire, and guess what? You praise God that you threw it in the fire, and you worship God in that place. You tear it up, you burn it up, you throw it away, whatever it is. You mentally put that person on a piece of paper. You put that situation, I promise you, it sounds good right now, but unless you go home and do this, you don't purge yourself. You need to purge yourself in this place. And then the final thing is, it says this, pray for those. So here's how I would say it. Time to check your heart. Because if you pray for them and it sounds something like this, dear God, I so hate Joe. And I know you probably do too. Pastor said it'd be good for him to fall off a cliff with a noose around his neck. I'll provide the stone. Like if that's your prayer, yeah, I'd check the heart thing again. Like, you haven't quite been flushed out. I'd take a little more Pepto-Bismol for your heart on that one. But if you can pray for this and say this, God, there was a day that I was the worst of the worst, but someone prayed enough for me to become the best that I could. I now pray that for Joe. I pray that everything you called him to, everything you called her to, that they can walk in the fullness of it. And if you can pray that with all sincerity, guess what? Blessed are the pure in heart. You will find God in that place. But here's what's going to happen. Can I make a prophetic prediction for you? You ready for this? The first time you do this, it won't work. You will have to get out another piece of paper, and you'll have to write down Joe's name again, which, by the way, I just realized we have a Joe here. I'm not actually talking to you, bud. So, like, it's really getting awkward now. Take off your badge. So you got to write Joe's name down. You got to write everything in. You call all your friends and say, hey, guess what? I wasn't pure in heart. I'm still throwing away Joe. No, not throwing away Joe. I'm throwing away Joe's action. You do it again, and then you come back and you check your heart. And there may be a time where you do it once, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, but eventually you get to the point where you think about Joe and you go, man, God, I hope you're blessing him. Linda, who did da-da-da-da-da to me, God, I hope you're shining your face down upon her. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to sleep better. You're going to feel purified on the inside. Dare I say, you're going to have the power that God's always wants you to have. So I want to encourage you this day, don't look at forgiveness as weakness, but understanding it's the greatest sign of strength that you can possibly endure. So if you're here today, there's your exercise. If you're a follower of Christ, there's some steps for you to take. But maybe you're here today and you're going, wait a second, you said earlier, like, people have been forgiven much, forgive much, and I haven't been forgiven. What do you mean by that? And here's what I mean by that. Those of us that call ourselves followers of Christ, it's for this reason. It's because days ago, weeks ago, months ago, years ago, we realized that we have fallen short. We actually use the word sinned. And if you go, well, what is sin? Have you ever done an action in your life when immediately after you've done it, you just feel dirty inside, dark inside? You feel like you just took a step back in life? That wasn't because anyone told you that. That's because there's this thing inside of you that wants to be connected to God. And every time you make those actions, you take a step away from him. And I want to let you know, despite you stepping away from him, he's been pursuing you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to become Lord of your life. And he wants to take all that dirty that's inside of you, all this unforgiveness that you can't seem to purge out. He wants to take all that. And the Bible actually says this, wash you white as snow. So if you're sitting here right now and you're going, man, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I know we didn't do some Easter sermon and he didn't talk about the cross and all that, but something inside of me goes, what that guy's talking about is what I want. I'm going to ask you if that's what you want, and if it is, I want you to raise your hand. But in order to make you as most comfortable as I can, could I just ask everybody around this room, could you close your eyes, bow your head, and really kind of separate yourself from people around you? And in doing so, here's why I've asked everybody to do this. Because right now, you and I need to talk. And you go, who's he talking to? If it feels like I'm talking to you, you know I'm talking to you. You could be watching us online or you could be sitting here. Today's the day for you to make the decision that you want to walk a different path. The way you've always tried to interact with people didn't work, but yet what I said today seems to make a lot of sense. The dirty feeling you feel inside, you're ready to turn away from that because you just want to know Jesus is your Savior. Today could be the day for that. So if you're watching online, there's going to be a tab that clicks up in front of you. If you're sitting here live, if today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, every eye is closed, every head is bowed, I'm just going to ask you this. Could you just simply raise your hand so that I can see that you've made a decision today to say yes to Jesus? I saw that hand, bud. I see that hand back there. Praise God. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. If you're online, I'm going to invite you to say the same prayer as we are. There's so many hands that went up. Could all of us say this? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for giving me an alternative to the life I've always lived. Today I accept your way. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And help me purge my mental, spiritual, emotional way of life so that I can be clean. God, I thank you for everyone who is praying that prayer for the very first time. I thank you for those that have prayed it before, but they are renewing their faith in you today. And I also just pray for everybody. God, all of us have someone that we need to learn how to forgive better, faster, and quicker. So any place where we are feeling that we need the catheter of your Spirit to come inside of us in order to purge us from this pain of blockage, Holy Spirit, come give us grace in order to do that so that we can return the power back to us. And for every person that is stuck, God, we pray that you get them unstuck right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you agree with that, say amen. Hey, can we do this? For everyone who raised your hand, can we put our hands together? Hey, welcome to the family. We love you. So now you're asking the question, what do I do next? Well, luckily here, we believe we're here to help you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So we actually named a booth back there called Next Step. There's a guy back there by the name of Roy. Can you do this? Can you say hi, Roy? Why do I do that? Because Roy's back there in a pink shirt, salmon. We'll go with pink. So I have the mic right now. So Roy's back there, and all you have to do is walk back to Roy in the pink shirt and say this. I think it's salmon, but walk back to him and say this. Hi, I heard your name is Roy. I am, and he takes it from there. He wants to answer questions that you might have. He has some resources to be able to give you, and he's ready to help you take your next step with Jesus Christ. If you're watching online and you said yes, make sure to reach out to us. We cannot wait to celebrate this day with you. So Pastor Aaron's going to be coming now. We'll get you out of here in about 5 minutes, a couple last-minute things we want to do. But I want to tell everybody this. Just yesterday, I decided to go on a 40-day spiritual journey for myself. And I actually haven't told many people about it, and even the details about it. I'm not really giving out. This is something that I feel like I've been called to. But here's the thing. I've actually felt like God's called me to it for a while. And I've been dragging my feet. I have been indecisive if I should or if I shouldn't. And finally, I got to the point where I said this. The thought of being in the brightness of tomorrow is better than being in the darkness of yesterday. So I made a choice. Tomorrow I started. So tomorrow, you get to make a choice. Do you live in unforgiveness or forgiveness? And I guess the question I'd have to pose to you is the excitement of the potential of a great tomorrow better than the despair and defeatedness of yesterday? And if it is, when it comes to your unforgiveness, I encourage you, make the choice. God bless.